Great. Good morning, everyone. Great to see so many people here. So I'm going to talk today about implementation of an intersectoral policy, leveraging state government funding to support healthy procurement. As Connie mentioned, my name is Josephine Stevenson, and I'm the project lead for the Healthy Local Food Procurement Implementation Plan for the Health and All Policies Task Force. So just to give you a brief overview of what I'll be covering, I want to start by discussing one of the strategies the Health and All Policies Task Force uses to build intersectoral partnerships, what we call co-benefits and win-wins, and also offer an example of how this concept operates on the ground by giving an overview of the task force's leveraging government spending to support healthy procurement. And then finally, I will discuss some of the lessons we've learned in our planning process with this project. So just to clarify, this is a project that is very much in the midst of being implemented. So we're just, you know, learning things as we go and learning about what works. So what do we mean by co-benefits and win-wins? The California Health and All Policies Task Force uses the term to refer to strategies that simultaneously improve health and support partners' goals. Identifying co-benefits and win-wins is a fundamental piece of a Health and All Policies approach, and it is part of the three elements of collaboration which Julia will talk about later in her presentation. So why do we focus on win-wins and co-benefits? When we begin to work with a partner, a new partner, we start by asking ourselves, what are the core goals of this department? How can we help advance these goals? And where are the potential win-win strategies? I think it's really natural for people to ask themselves when they're going to take on new work, what's in it for me? And finding a balance between multiple goals is sometimes difficult and requires negotiation, learning about, and valuing others' priorities. We found that this approach is essential for securing support and partners and can build trust, ensure more effective use of scarce government resources, and also has helped us understand the constraints of the departments we work with. So, for example, budgetary constraints or contracts. So just to talk a little bit about our healthy food procurement work, I think it's really great to talk about win-wins and co-benefits, but how does this process work on the ground? The Health and All Policies Leveraging Government Spending to Support Healthy Procurement Implementation Plan was the first of eight implementation plans to be approved by the Strategic Growth Council and the task force. And the plan was developed by consensus, so that means that all of the task force members signed on to this plan. It's a two-year plan, and elements of the plan include interviewing key informants, compiling a report outlining procurement policies and standards at the state, also developing a pilot project with one or two state agencies, and then finally evaluating that pilot. So as you can see, we've set out a lot to do in a two-year period, but I'm happy to say we're making a lot of progress with it. So I also wanted to say a little bit about why we chose, or why the task force chose, procurement as an implementation plan and an area to focus. As Karen mentioned in her presentation, procurement is one of the roles of government, and healthy and location-efficient food procurement policies are a powerful way for the state to leverage its purchasing power to support workplace environments that promote healthy behavior, to reduce healthcare expenditures by promoting health in the employee population, also supporting local agriculture, reducing greenhouse gas emissions through a reduction in vehicle miles traveled, and modeling healthful nutrition and sustainability for the wider community. So really the idea that the state can model this behavior and it will, you know, hopefully spread out into the wider community. And then finally, leveraging its purchasing power to change the role of the state and local governments from a passive consumer to an active driver of the market. So I think if you look at all the points that I have listed here on the slide, you can see that the concept of co-benefits has been basically built into this plan. So for example, the Department of Food and Agriculture has an interest in promoting local agriculture and supporting California farmers. The state as a whole has an interest in improving health and also reducing healthcare expenditures. So these are some of our partners on this project. I won't read them off, but you can see that there are a number of them there. And I think one thing to note about this plan is actually a lot of our partners are not on the task force, so we had to go out and build new relationships with all of these departments. And initially, I think one of the things is that a lot of the departments actually saw this project as being outside the scope of their work and were fairly hesitant to get involved. And also, you know, we had to recognize that the California budget crisis and the economic downturn put enormous stress on departments, and that, you know, people are dealing with staff reductions, budgetary constraints, and increased demand for services. So adding work to people's plates wasn't necessarily an easy ask. I wanted to give you just a few examples of how we've used the concept of win-wins or co-benefits to work with some of our partners. So one of the areas we focus on is healthy vending on state property. And there was an act that was passed in 1936, which gives priority to visually impaired individuals to sell food on state and federal property. And actually, there's a lot of counties that participate in this program as well. And so these vendors operate our vending machines, our cafeterias, our concession stands, and they're actually independent of the state. So we don't, they're independent business people. We don't actually have, you know, a say over what they offer in these venues. But it's also, you know, these venues are a really important part of the government food environment. So there are a lot of reasons why we'd like to see some changes and have them offer some more healthy options. So, you know, one of the things that's come up is that the vendors are very concerned that if they offer more healthy choices, that they will lose money if there isn't the demand from the consumers and from the employees. So one of the things that we've done is to work with the Blind Vendor Program, this is the one that was established in 1936, to explore ways to provide technical assistance to vendors so they can include more healthy menu options. We've also conducted a training for the Blind Vendors Program on nutrition. One of the things that was identified was that the program that does the training for these vendors doesn't really have the resources or the staff to do things just to help educate these people who are running the businesses. Also, we're exploring ways to build consumer or customer demand for more healthy items. So we're working with the Worksite Wellness Committee, thank you, you know, trying to find ways that we can encourage state employees or build some interest in having some of the healthy options available. So the second example I'll give you is we're doing some work with the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. They're actually the state's largest feeding institution. You know, we've spent a lot of time kind of trying to get to know what their constraints and priorities are. And some, a fair amount of them have to do with fiscal issues, not surprisingly, also with security issues. So one thing that's come up is that prisoners or inmates are fed on 310 a day, and that's for three meals a day. So you can see that if you were to put anything in, implement any work that would increase the cost of the food, it's not something that's actually really feasible for that department. So one of the things we're doing is working with the lead dietitian for corrections to identify opportunities to reduce food costs by purchasing directly from farmers. So we're doing some farm-to-prison work, or hope to do some of that work in the future. And also expanding nutrition guidelines. They do follow some now, but we're thinking about trying to figure out expanding them in a way that would be cost neutral. So just in closing, just want to talk some about what we've learned from this project. I think, as I mentioned earlier, food procurement is a great opportunity to achieve many goals. You can improve health, support local agriculture, and protect the environment. Also, it's a great example of the type of issue that lends itself to a health and all policies approach. And one of the things that I think has become apparent with this project is that each department has a unique procurement policy and fiscal environment, and we really have to be sensitive to that going forward. Also, just really quickly, we have to be sensitive to the national climate. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, sugar-sweetened beverages, concern over that. And, you know, when we talk about procurement, I think it brings up a lot of feelings about what the role of government is in making decisions about what people consume. So that, you know, we kind of are operating within that climate as well. So identifying and articulating win-wins for our partners has been key for this project, and hopefully I've shown you that. And without this process, we wouldn't have been able to bring these people to the table. I also want to just say that there's no blueprint for this work. As I mentioned in the beginning, we're really learning as we go. But I'm excited to say that some of these departments that I showed you earlier on the slides are actually starting to identify for us where there's opportunities to promote healthy or location-efficient procurement. So that's been really exciting to not necessarily come to them and say, hey, what can you do here, but have them come to us and say, hey, we see an opportunity here. So I will go ahead and close there. I think there's time for a few questions, and then certainly time after all of our presentations. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Josephine?
Yes. When you were saying that a lot of these departments, when you first approached them, said this is not part of my what we're responsible for, how did you convince them that this was something that they should be involved in?
I think one way has just been by building relationships with them and really helping them understand what we're doing. And then the other way, I think, has been about probably establishing that trust that we're actually there to partner with them. We're not there to say this is what you need to do. And then I probably would say a third way is by trying to think creatively about how maybe this work could reduce cost. I think it's clear in the long term that if you improve state employee health, you know, that the state will spend less money on, you know, health coverage for employees. But I think what we've had to do is actually really show where the short-term cost savings are.
Sorry, you're moderating.
That's okay. You can point.
Go ahead.
So what approach did you take to identify the appropriate contacts or the appropriate stakeholders within any given office to even kick open the door to get this?
Yeah. So I will kick some of that over to my colleagues. This project actually started before I came on. I will say since I've been on the project, I've done a lot of asking. You know, I'll have a conversation with corrections, for example, and I will say, well, you know, who at that department would be a good person for me to talk to if a question comes up? For example, like the Department of General Services does all the purchasing, food purchasing for the state. And so I'll say, you know, who at Department of General Services would be a good person for us to talk to. So it's been mostly having them identify for us. But I will see if any of my team wants to kick in on that.
I'll just say, in terms of the task force itself, when the task force was created, the Strategic Growth Council identified the 18 state agencies that would sit on the task force. And then the directors or secretaries of the agencies determined who they would then delegate to sit within the group. And so we have designees from each of those agencies. They're mostly pretty high-level folks. They're assistant secretaries or assistant directors. They're kind of at that executive level. And then as we've developed projects, they've brought in program staff or other people within their department.
Thanks.
Any other key questions? Okay, one and then two.
Go ahead. Yeah, so this project, I think the question was, are we doing anything with education and what was the last part?
School lunch
programs. So this project is actually really focused at procurement at the state level. And hopefully, I mean, I think one of the things we'd like to do is, you know, make some changes that then would actually filter down to more the county level. But this is really focused on, you know, how employees or people who visit state property, where they purchase food and what the quality of that food is. Does that answer your question?
I think part of the issue is just that the counties are purchasing school food, so I think that there are ways that the state sort of influences that, but ultimately, because this is about state spending and the counties or school districts are responsible for buying school lunch, that it's something that I think has sort of been on the periphery of this work.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'll just add to that very briefly that the farm to fork office that our task force is creating is a separate project from the food procurement work, but it's certainly related. And that office is working very closely with the Department of Education, and ultimately one of the goals is to make it easier for schools to be able to purchase locally and have more fresh produce. So,
In the back.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Amaral. I'm from Fresno County Department of Public Health.
Hi.
It's really awesome to see. I participated in your strategic planning process.
Great.
And you guys heard what you said, so I'm excited about the food procurement and everything. So I just wanted to give you guys a...
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. So I think we'll probably stop here. Please hold your questions for later. There's going to be plenty of time and pass it back over. Thank you.